All right, guys, we're live from Crane Christian Church. We're doing the Gospel According to Mark. We're running a little bit late because of 17 degrees, I think, is what it was at my house this morning. So anyway, quick review, which that means we may or may not get to today's lesson, how the review works. But we're at Mark 1 and 28, and that's what we're going to pick up here in a minute. But what we said so far is that, guys, God has called us to love one another. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because I've been talking about it for 22 years and then 10 years before that and then 10 years before that. So you can play those tapes again. Okay, but God's called us to love one another. What does that look like? Is that an emotion?
Yep.
No, that's a choice. Okay. And I know through the years people have had to choose to obey God in that way. So, and he's calling us to do that again. Then the next thing was, next week was authority. And God, do we have spiritual authority?
No,
we do. It's just delegated to us because we are his representatives, okay? So we represent him to the world. We have, he said, go in my name, and give us a whole list of things to do, okay? So, you know as well as I do, though, we're in a broken world, in a broken situation. But what we're going to do now is go to some interesting scripture, and we're going to have an interesting little talk about it. It's interesting to me because I lived it. Might not be that interesting to you. So Mark 1 and 28 says this, and immediately his fame spread throughout all the regions around Galilee. So he's preaching with authority. He commands unclean spirits. They obey him. And guess what? That got people's attention. Surprise, surprise. Even before Facebook, Instagram, and all those other things, okay? Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And remember, these are not the first round draft picks. These are fishermen, okay? They're good old boys, all right? But Simon's wife's mother, which had been his mother-in-law, lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. So guys, I've already made the first little sub-point here, is that these were just men, just like she was a woman just like we're men and women here, right? Here's the deal. People have always been people, okay? And you say, Bruce, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand. We all have a story. Everybody knows that. We all have a story. And we fail and come short of the glory of God. We have. And guess what? We will. Hopefully it'll be less expensive than the last time. Hopefully we learned something from the last time. Hopefully I actually listened to part of my sermon in the last couple of days, and I was doing that thing on grinding, and I'm not going to do that anymore because I heard it. Okay. So, but that, well, I just said I wasn't going to do it. Now I did it. Okay. There you go. Failed again. So, here's the deal. They were not first round draft picks, but they immediately knew who to go to when they had a problem. Okay. Sometimes we just literally go this place, this place, this place. We need to go to him first. Okay. And many times, all joking aside, many times God, as I've gone to him and said, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, I would see what I'm supposed to do, and it did involve other people. But instead of me going person to person, saves a lot of time. Does that make sense? Go to him first. That's what they did. And of course, it he healed her. And the third thing, just with this little part right here, just real quick, she immediately began to serve them. Think about that. The fever went out of her, and she didn't say, well, you know, I've earned a couple of days off, I've done this. And a lot of times we think that this whole world revolves around us. Now, y'all don't think that, but I do, okay? And here's the deal. What I think is, oh, well, you know, this, but the truth is we're called to a role in the army of God, okay? There's a battle going on, and when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, when we keep putting it off, when we keep saying, no, I'm not worthy, whatever, there's a gap in that wall that needs to be filled, whether it's a prayer warrior, whether it's whatever. Well, you know what? I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about this. Well, here's the deal. Do what God's called you to do. And we have a saying in the Belen School of Ministry, and this is all joking aside. It's like, I had rather clean up the mess that you made trying to do what God calls you to do than I sit here and be without it all this time. Amen. I can't tell you the people that have been touched by ministries that I've had to literally go like this with people, go like this, go like this, go like this. And because they were called to do something that was on my heart, that there's no way that I could get done with what I'm doing. And so do what God's called you to do, and don't sit around and think about it. All right. So faith is action. Faith is a verb. Love is a verb. It's all action. Okay. Now we're getting to the meat of what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay. That was the warm-up pitch. Now at evening, we're in verse 32, Mark 1 and 32. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick, those who were demon-possessed, the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick from various diseases and cast out many demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Here's the first point of today's sermon, and I've said this through the years several times, okay? Does it strike you as odd that demonic entities recognized who Jesus was when most of the religious culture of that day did not recognize who he was, even to the point of passed on the cross? Can y'all see the dichotomy there? That, I don't want, okay, very old illustration I'm going to give you, okay? There was a band, when Christian, contemporary Christian music, which is what the word for it now was, back then it was Christian rock, okay? When that was coming out in the 70s and the 80s, and guys, you would not believe the pushback against that from the religious people were, you know, anyway, it was quite a deal. If you lived it, then you can get therapy like the rest of us. Anyway, but the point is this, guys. Everybody was pointing fingers. This, you know, that devil beat, that this, minor chords, it just went on and on and on. So here's the deal. One of the biggest people that were talking the most about it was having an affair with a prostitute while he pastored, was making $1 million. I think they were having about $1 million a month come in from outside. And you go, why would you bring that up? I'm going to tell you why I bring it up. Not to push, I'm not naming any names, it doesn't matter. But I'm just telling you guys that the bottom line is that religion blinds and relationship opens your eyes. My eyes have been opened the closer that I get to Jesus. I told somebody this the other day. They were talking, and man, what about this? What about that? What about this? And I said, look, here's the deal. the closer I get to Jesus, the more it's about Jesus. The more because I have ran through the gauntlet of religions. Okay, I was actually praying last night. I almost took some notes. I almost quit praying and took some notes because I began to think about the process that God has taken me through in the last, but I'm only 35, but it's been about a 50-year process. Okay, because, you know, yeah, he knew me in the womb. Thank you. But anyway, but the point being, guys, the process of guilt, shame, condemnation, guilt, shame, condemnation, and getting closer and closer to him. And I think her name is Olivia Lane. I'd never heard of her before. She has a song about the lady at the well, the woman at the well. And it actually, they actually play it, I think, or maybe there's a video with her with the series, The Chosen? Yeah. And, but anyway, guys, when I hear that song, it reminds me of my journey. Because see, when we start seeing ourselves as, my name is Pastor Belen. Oh, you know, look at that, you know. I used to work in a convenience store. No, not a convenience store. What was it? A pre-Walmart, you know, whatever. And I was working there, and I could tell when the preachers come to buy a vacuum cleaner. You could tell it in their voice. I can tell right here that this vacuum cleaner is the one that I've been looking for. Pray. Oh, yes. Bless his holy name. And I think it's a Hoover, but I believe, could you have a pastoral discount? Okay. And I would hear all that, and I'm like, we're talking about a vacuum cleaner. And praise the Lord. Anyway, but... guys, you think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? The slang phrases, all the things that went with that time period, and I tried so hard to be like the other preachers. I didn't want to be a preacher, but if I was going to be a preacher, it didn't work. Okay. Okay, we'll keep going. So it was this huge attack. And so let's go down to this, the first part of 32. Now at evening when the sun had set, they brought all to him who were sick and those who were demon possessed. After the evening, after the Sabbath sunset. Now, I want you to see both sides of this, what we're saying, okay? We have a misconception of the Sabbath. We have a misconception of all of the legalism and the. See, these guys, these Jews were people who had been put into captivity. You've seen the circle of redemption, turning their eyes from the Lord, following idols, captivity, then crying out to God, redemption. We've talked about that over and over. These people and their predecessors had gone through that over and over. And when they looked at Jesus and said, hey, you can't heal anybody on the Sabbath. See, that was a cultural where they had gotten to, because you actually, some of the healing stuff that they did back in there, they had to grind the herbs. There was actually physical labor involved. And when you look at what Jesus is doing, he's actually not working. He's praying. He's asking God to violate the Sabbath. You know, but anyway, but the point is this, guys, watch this. With these people, he is honoring their concern. And he's waiting till after the sun sets to heal these people on the Sabbath. With these people, because timing is everything, isn't it? Yep. Okay. You know, okay, I'm not going to use that example. Okay. But literally, guys, timing is everything. And following the Holy Spirit. And he knew that at this point in his ministry with these people, this was not the time to bring up that argument. See, we don't have to bring, because I know people and I love them greatly. Everywhere they show up, they've got their argument out in front of them. And I had a friend here in this town that he's gone now. But literally, guys, every time I saw him, the first thing he wanted to talk about was his argument. He didn't want to talk about the weather. He didn't want to, because that's all. See, to me, if all you have is an argument, where's Jesus? Okay. And I have convictions, and they may be different than yours. Okay. And mine are not my theology is not perfect. Okay. Because I'm not perfect. But I can tell you that if we're going to talk about something, my argument, I'm not going to meet you and say, you know, the real problem here is the women's hair. They're cutting, women's cutting their hair. And then women are wearing breeches. And then, you know, whatever, whatever, okay? Their pet scriptures, their pet theology, their pet whatever, okay? But here's the deal. He was honoring to get into their presence and to them to be able to see he is the Lord of the Sabbath, right? Okay, but he did, to keep from offending them, he's waiting till after the sun's, and the way their days work is when the sun sets, the next day starts, where we do it the next, at 2401 or 0001 if you're using, you know, in Zulu it'd be 2016, okay, never mind. Okay, but the point being is this, right? Here's the deal. He honored that. And I looked it up whenever I studied this, I looked it up and wrote down, there's 14 verses where he heals somebody on the Sabbath, or they're talking about, or that includes the verses that he's talking about, what are justifying what he did or explaining it to them, okay? 14 verses. There's, and you guys wonder why I go through the Bible, go through books line by line. The reason is I've never seen this before. If I have, I don't remember it. That he waited out of all the other times that he didn't wait. But these people needed that. And I'm going to tell you something. The gospel will go where people are. I remember the days when I would hear people say, I don't know why we have a prison ministry. Why would we have a prison ministry? They deserve what they got. They're in there, you know, and they can, you know, I send them a Bible. And they can. No, there's a revival in prison right now. There's a revival. Do you know how many people that I meet that either they reach the very end of their ability in themselves, right? That literally, guys, they reach the end of that, and they do that in jail, in prison. We need to provide them somebody that's pointing toward Jesus in those situations. And we have people locally that do that, and I have people in my some other affiliations that do that. So I'm all about it, because you know what? I'm glad that God didn't wait till I got everything straightened out to convict me. Okay. I appreciate that, Lord, His Holy Spirit. Yes. So does everybody get that part? So I was going to hit this a little harder and then I'll quit. Okay. I remember we talked about the music thing, but by the way, I was walking up a line at a conference one time, because you know, I am a redneck, full disclosure. I know y'all don't believe that. I mean, I'm obviously a sophisticate. Okay, but, yeah, with a PhD. Okay, so here's the deal. I literally walked my way. There was a line waiting to get into this conference one time with my pencil and paper, and said, hey, do you guys use overheads or are y'all still using hymnals? Do you guys use overheads or are y'all still using hymnals? And everybody, not everybody, But just about everybody in that line would say, well, it's been a mess fighting over whether it should be on the wall or it should be in your hand. Because we've always done it like this. Well, you know, if you want to always do it like we did, you know, we can, you know, get rid of the building and start meeting at your house, you know, daily. We'll rotate around. Okay. No. So, but here's the deal. The bottom line is this. In this, he went to where they were. And another thing that was huge in the 70s is hair length. That man has got hair over his ears. He just looks like a woman, okay? And then women are cutting their hair. And then it was girls with pants, okay? Then it was jeans in church, okay? Then it was, and I think the hardest one, the one that hurt me the most personally was denominationalism, okay? And here's the deal, I'm all about the Methodist Church. I'm all about the Presbyterians. I'm all about the Assemblies of God. I'm all about, those guys are my brothers. We meet together, we pray together, we love one another. The Baptist Church, the not so Baptist Church, I mean, whatever, okay. No, I'm serious. I mean, the Babacostal, I mean, I don't care, okay? It's like a buddy of mine said, I say a buddy of mine, a teacher, it's a big book. Have you looked at it lately? It's a big book, okay? So, but here's the deal. They were literally, I will never forget, the biggest revival that I was ever a part of was a part of the of course, everything happens late in Arkansas, was the Jesus movement that started out in California, gradually worked its way east, and I had to get my directions better. So, and when it got to us, there were people that were stopped quitting dope. There were people who were, and I literally, it was still going on when I was on patrol, and I would pull out, and there would be people in the have the tennis court lights on, having Bible studies because it, you know, it's too late to have them anywhere else, and there would be people talking to people about Jesus in the park, talking, loving one another. You see what I'm saying? And literally, guys, all of that, but in the middle of that, we were having a youth service on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock for 30 minutes before, I think it was 8:30. And I was too young to drive. Somebody would pick me up and bring me. And we had it at either the Presbyterian Church or whoever let us do it, you know, whatever. It was like the seniors in high school were like leading it, and they had like one adult in there to keep us from tearing the building down or whatever. But anyway, you know, all the praise and worship was guitars, and we had all that stuff. And literally, guys, do you know what happened to it? Well, what's their stand on this? What's their stand? What about this? What about this? Are they preaching once saved, always saved? Are they trying to get my kids to speak in tongues? Are they trying to do? I mean, you mean they had communion? I mean, who served? What? Who was the priest that was there? I mean, it tore it apart. The reason it tore it apart was because of religion and denominationalism. And I'm not against denomination. I'm not against any denomination, okay? If they're preaching Jesus, I'm for them. I'm on their side. They're on my side, okay? But guys, literally, Jesus was willing to go around that, and actually, he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He said, these people get started up over this, and they need to be started up over that, okay? So let's pick our battles. You think that's a good idea? You know, instead of taking our argument, instead of wearing our argument like a brush guard on front of our truck, let's keep it in the back and go by our convictions and use it when we need it. Does that make sense? Okay, that's my new way to explain that. So that's, I've already covered that. And this next part, let's see where we're at. Oh, we're doing great. Okay, got a late start, but I'll get this in. So, verse 35. Now in the morning they had risen, and long before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place where he prayed, or there he prayed. Do we need to be praying?
Yes.
Okay, this isn't even one of my points. We need to be praying. This last night, I had a prayer time, and I want to tell you guys, it was precious. It was precious. Nothing, it's just, you know, it was just his presence, and I didn't have a long list that I was going before him with. There, I did have some prayer requests, but guys, more than anything else, I want to stay right this way, and the fruit of me being right this way is me being right this way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's a fruit of that. It's one of the, okay, well, I'm not going to get into Wednesday nights. Okay, so if I start flopping that, it's going to be, okay. So, and Simon and those who were there were searching for him. And when they found him, he said, everybody's looking for you. And he said to them, let us go to the next towns that I may preach also, because for this purpose I have come forth. For he was, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. He went to the body first, and then he went to the religious people that day and was planting that seed that I believe with all my heart. And again, I'm not a theologian and I'm not a church historian, but what I know is seeds, when they're watered, they grow. And if they're in good ground, they produce fruit. And I think Nicodemus is one of those, where we could say was the religious of the religious. But when he got the picture, when he really saw what was going on, it's like, wow. Should we be fighting this? So this is the last point in verse 40. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, knocking, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing. Jesus has already told us in his word, he's willing to make us clean. Call on the name of the Lord. And guys, you say, well, Bruce, you know, I'm saved. I'm, you know, I've got eternity with him. And listen, this is, salvation is the bottom line. But what about today? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do tomorrow? What's your life going to look like at the end of this week? Let's get closer to him through prayer, through discipline, through reading his word. And guys, I'm just telling you, he says, if you are willing, he's willing. But Jesus moved with compassion. This is the point. He put out his hand and touched him. What are we doing with the lepers of society? What are you doing with the lepers of society? Are you going on the other side of the street when you see them beating up in the ditch? Are you crossing on the other side because you're too religious? You don't want to get your hands dirty? What are we doing with the lepers of society? Jesus shows us a very specific point when he did this. He put his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. I am willing. When I read those words, guys, think about everything he was willing to do. He was willing to leave heaven and to live down here with us for 33 years or so. And then be willing to take the beating where he didn't even look like a human being, and then willing to be nailed to a cross. He was willing. Are you willing to be the man or woman God's called you to be? Are you willing? Because when we're willing, there's power. And when we're not willing, there's not. So as soon as he had spoken, he immediately, the leprosy left him and was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. Now listen to what he warned him. I love this story. I love this part because it reminds me of me. Okay. But he does this. He says, don't tell nobody. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer your cleansing for those which Moses commanded with a testimony to them. So that's exactly what he did. He didn't tell anybody. He did exactly what Jesus said, right? No, none of that. He immediately, okay, he went out and began to proclaim it freely. In other words, blah, 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 okay, to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. And here's the deal. I have two thoughts about this scripture. Good to see you. Two thoughts about this scripture, okay? One of them is this. Reverse psychology. I can't ever just think about what's on the top. I always got to dig around in there. I don't think that's what it was, but that's always the first thing I think. You know, if you tell me don't look in that box and you leave the room, oh, you're in trouble. I've unwrapped every Christmas present I had before I left home to go in the military. On one end and saw what it is, shook it, smelled of it, you know, because I'm slightly nosy, okay? Slightly, full disclosure. But guys, I don't think that's what happened. I think Jesus was trying to keep it so that he could continue to do in the same way he was doing it. And he said, look, we're glad you're healed, but keep it on the down low for, you know. And he knew that he would be moving on at some point, preaching somewhere else, because you just, you know, I could probably do it and say, hey, would you look, wait till the next time you're here to look in the box, okay? But, yeah, anyway, you get the point. So I love the fact, though, that Jesus then was a little flexible. Sometimes we're just not that flexible, okay? You know, well, you know, we've always done it this way. We've always done it this way, but it's not that flexible. And you know what a rut is, right? It's a grave with no end in it, okay? So you're just in the grave going through the same rut over and over and over and over. And there's power in and repeating things and having good habits and all that. Don't get me wrong. But here's the deal. Sometimes we get in religious ruts. We hear something new and we go, oh, that can't be right. But then I can't tell you how many times that I've done that and then done the deep dive, read all the scriptures, looked at it, dug, prayed, and I'm like, oh, great. They're right, I'm wrong. Isn't that nice? Okay. So it messed with the plan, but he was able to be flexible. And here's the last little part of this, and I'll shut it. So guys, watch this. Things might not have worked out exactly like you thought they would. And if you were writing out your life and saying, well, you know, if I was wanting to do what God wanted me to do, I would be this, you know. Of course, I've told y'all my plan, not the ministry plan, my life plan. My life plan was to be born to somebody who was tall, skinny, and rich, okay? That didn't work, okay? And good looking, okay, all that. I wanted all that, you know. So, but here's the thing, guys. As I read the story of everybody, including Saul, who became Paul, God took him and he went through a real change in attitude because of he saw the Lord for a minute, or heard the Lord, the bright light, got knocked off his donkey and couldn't see for a while, all of that. But I was listening to a teacher the other day and I did not realize the amount of years between the time of that and when the actual Jerusalem church accepted him. I'd studied that years ago, but I don't know if I forgot it or they just didn't say it. But there was years in between that where they didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. But guess what that meant? Guess what that made him do? It made him go to the Gentile. Because it pushed him in a different direction. It made him, it broadened his horizons. And you're like, you know, Bruce, I've been through this, I've been through this, I've been through that. And listen, I'm sorry for that. If it was anything bad you've been through, I'm sorry. But what I'm glad for is the things that I've gone through that have pushed me into the place that I am is the reason that I won't quit talking about how good Jesus is. It's because of what I've been through and how good he's been to me. Because I'm not going to quit talking about it. If I have to, my mama used to say, if I have to take a lard bucket and go out in the backyard and beat on it with a wooden spoon and preach, that's what I'm going to do. Because I'm not going to quit. Because see, in her day, women preachers, oh no, that was bad. Women need to shut up and sit down. Okay, in the church house and at home and in government and everywhere else. Okay, true story. Okay, she was preaching one time and a guy was in the middle of a pew and she began to speak and he got up, stepped over the pew, walked. It was weird. Okay, I was there because I thought he was fixing. I've been places where people had to get up and throw up or go to the bathroom or whatever real bad. And I thought he was fixing to throw up, so I was moving out of the way. But no, that was because she was a woman and she was speaking in the church. So anyway, the point being is this, guys. I know you've been through stuff, and here's the deal. Jesus had to kind of alter. He had to hang out in the woods and preach instead of doing what he wanted to do. But guess what? He didn't quit. So don't quit. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace as we work through this Gospel of Mark. And Lord, I pray for everybody that's watching today, everybody that's here with me. Let us not quit the route, the path that you've called us to, Lord. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we rejoice and sometimes we mourn, God. But in the middle of that, God, let us keep walking after you. And Father, thank you for everything you've done for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Like and share. See you. Bye.